My topic is about selecting online resources. So I hope that after the end of the session, I should be able to discuss the importance of online resources, describe resource-based learning, give examples of different types of learning resources which you will use for your course, describe open educational resources, and select different types of learning resources for your course. Okay, is this acceptable to you? Okay, so just to run through how we will deal with our discussion. So we will try to find out what are these learning resources? How are they different from the references that are listed in your curriculum or syllabi? So why are they important? Why are we giving an entire session to discuss about learning resources? And what is this resource-based learning that we are talking about here? And what are these different types of learning resources? And why should we focus on open educational resources or OERs? Tama-tama, we have a lawyer here. Pag may question kayo, babalik dati kay ma'am. And what are the guidelines in choosing learning resources? Okay. So, learning resources, what are they? So, simply put, learning resources are any form of material which you have purchased, you have acquired, or you have produced personally or institutionally, and these resources have been developed or created for instructional purposes that is used for formal, just like for in your case, you'll be using it for your master's program, for non-formal, like in the case of UPOU, we have a number of non-formal or continuing education courses, or informal teaching or learning resources. Your day-to-day conversations with colleagues, for example, you can use learning resources. So this comes in the form of print, so it can be books. Maybe for your particular course, you have textbooks. You have textbooks, ba ma'am? You have, do you recommend textbooks for your course? In some courses, right? So it comes in books and also journals. Researches that have been conducted, and it can also be non-print. So these are video materials or podcasts or audio recordings, can be still photographs, can be animations, games, simulations, and it can even be human resource. So for this particular training session, I am a learning resource for this session. And we just have to remember that the overall goal is to support the learning outcomes of the curriculum. So why are we devoting an entire session for learning resources? Now we have to remember that learning resources are not just a list of references. It is important that that these resources are integrated in the design of your courses, because these resources, they allow your learners to explore, to collaborate, to solve problems, create and develop new ideas, knowledge, and skills. Now we have to remember that learners, they have different characteristics and learning styles. Tama naman, di ba? Do you agree? Even if most of them are in the field of disaster, they still have different characteristics and styles. They have different learning objectives. Maybe some, their particular goal is to be promoted. That's why they are enrolling in this particular program, or compliance, because they are asked to have certain number of units in order to be promoted. They have different learning environments and learning facilities. This is very important because in blended learning, everyone should have access to online resources. Thus, providing learning experiences suitable to the individual learner requires not just different methods, but different learning resources as well. Okay. Now, just to run through, this will be discussed later in detail. In designing your instruction, you're not just designing for learning outcomes. This is what are usually bombarded to us, right? You design for learning outcomes. Which is the reason why most of our curriculum are outcome-based already. Our courses are designed for learning outcomes. And of course, we design for our learners. But the third aspect is also important. We design with digital resources and technologies in mind. And of course, we design for interaction with others, which is why later, my colleagues will be discussing about learning activities which promote collaboration. Okay. So what is this resource-based learning that we are talking about? So when we talk of resource-based learning, it is an educational model where students are encouraged and enabled to use a variety of print, non-print, and human resources to seek information and solve problems. So it involves the reuse of available assets to support varied learning needs. We have to highlight that this particular mode of learning, resource-based learning, gives prominence to the role of resources in the teaching and learning process. This is actually what the constructivist approach espouses, that the learners are actively engaged in the learning process and that they are not just passive recipients of information. So in the past, we have been taught that teachers are the main source of information, that teachers are like the gods in the classroom. Whatever they say is true. But now, in resource-based learning, we try to encourage our students to be engaged and get hold of a variety of resources. But of course, this is not just getting hold of a variety of resources. These resources have been pre-selected by you. Which means you are integrating these resources to your curriculum. So you have chosen this for a particular resource because this addresses a particular learning outcome. So this is a very structured way of choosing learning resources. Okay, so resource-based learning. This is not really a new concept. This has been around for decades. However, this is now a buzzword, especially now in the digital age, because of the recent advances in information communication technology. All of us would agree that when we are thinking of a particular topic, where do we go to? Where do we go if we'd like to search about resource-based learning? Mom, where do we go? Internet, right? In the past, where do we go? Library. So we should have a library card first. Otherwise, we will not be allowed to go inside the library. Or maybe you are a wide reader and you have a vast collections of encyclopedia and dictionary in your home. So that's what we usually do in the past, right? We go to a library or a learning resource center and we access certain materials in order to find out about a particular topic. But now in the digital age, we go to Google, right? So ano daw yung resource-based learning na discuss yung kanina? Punta ko nga sa Google. That's what we do, right? Well, that is not a bad thing. That is actually a good thing that all of us should be able to maximize because it ensures increased access to resources. We will be surprised when you search for a particular material na ang dami pala doon which you can use for your particular class. So in your class, you don't need to reinvent the wheel. So if there are good materials out there, use them in your class as long as the licenses allow you to use that material in your class. Okay? Then there's flexibility and manipulation or use of resources. So the different resources out there, especially those which are open educational resources, allow you to manipulate, allow you to change, allow you to mix them up, mash them up, and come up with your own material. So this affordance of digital age allows you to manipulate the resources and repurpose them according to your need. So for example, meron kang video. This video has, for example, a video has been developed for a particular class. But you find a particular video interesting. So you can manipulate that particular video and repurpose it for your own class as long as you do the proper attribution if the license allow it. And of course, economic need. They say that, this is actually true in UPOU's experience, that really it's more cost-effective to offer online courses. You don't need to maintain a number of buildings. It's difficult to maintain a number of buildings. Difficult to hire a number of teachers. Maintain a big library, for example. So there's an economic side in offering resource-based learning because it's more cost-effective. And especially for your students, they don't need to be in the campus for entire 2 years. By the way, the students are on scholarship. Tama po ba yun? Yeah, okay. So, mas makakatipid pa rin yung college because you'll be able to provide them with more resources than they used to have. And of course, this philosophical desire. As I've said earlier, in resource-based learning, there's this philosophical assumption that learners are actively engaged in learning. So you allow them to explore, interpret the materials that you provide them instead of just providing them as against, in contrast to the philosophical assumption that learners are just there to absorb everything that you provide them. Okay, so in this particular learning that we espouse, learners are actively engaged in learning. Okay, now in your case, for the blended and facilitated e-learning, you can make use of a mix of materials in different formats from a range of sources, including the materials produced by learners themselves. For example, you have learners who have been involved in the Yolanda response team, and they produce good material for your class. You can actually reuse them, and that particular learner has contributed to the knowledge, the creation of knowledge. And also in this type of e-learning, the learning materials are just part of the design mix that includes various activities and collaboration tools. Okay. So as I've said earlier, learning resources, it's not just a reading list. We are so used to having a syllabi, right? We have a particular syllabus, and then there's a list of references at the end. In most cases, that's what happens in a face-to-face classroom or learning. You provide them with a list of reading materials, or you read them. Without really carefully considering how it affects the learning outcomes, how it affects the learning activities, how it affects the learners themselves. So in blended learning and online learning, we integrate the learning resources into the course in a structured way. So for example, you insert a particular video in this particular part of your course. Is it strategic? Why did you insert it there? What is the reason? Does it contribute to a particular learning outcome? How does it relate to the different activities, collaboration tools, assessment? So these are the things that you have to consider. And you have to provide scaffolds that will enable learners to get the most of these resources. Examples of scaffolds are specific instructions about what to do with the resource of a clearly defined task, guide questions and annotations, or commentaries that highlight key aspects of a learning resource. Later, we'll be able to show you examples of these detailed instructions on how to scaffold learning. Okay, importante kasi ito because you don't just provide a reference. So, how do you scaffold the learning of that particular student? Okay, so what are the types of resources? So, according to this author, you can classify them according to the sources of learning content. So, it can be recorded source or a live source. So, for recorded source, for text, samples are books, manuals, job aids, articles, websites, etc. And a live source, for example, I'm here right now acting as a resource person, so I'm a live source. For recorded sources, you can make use of graphics, photos, paintings, drawings, and live source, coaches. And also for recorded courses, sources, you have audio and video recordings, informants for the live source, and real objects and fellow learners. Or you can categorize them according to a courseware or a web resource. So when we talk of courseware, it follows standards for layout and learning design. Web resources are usually left unchanged or unmodified, and the teachers simply provides links to the learners. Okay, so now we will go to OERs. So why do we focus on OERs? Have you heard about open educational resources? Parang narinig niyo na kanina nung minention ko. Of course, our lawyer here has heard about OER. For the other teachers, are you familiar or you just heard about OER? Narinig lang po. Okay. So, what are OERs? So, according to UNESCO, any type of educational materials that are in the public domain or introduced with an open license. So the nature of these materials means that anyone can legally and freely copy, use, adapt, and reshare them. OERs range from textbooks to curricula to syllabi to lecture notes to assignments to tests, projects, audio, video, and animation. So, for example, this particular photo, I get that from Flickr with a Creative Commons license. So I'm able to use it for this particular session. So OERs are free, publicly available, and they are available to copy, use, adapt, and reshare. Okay. So as I've said earlier, there are a number of resources in the internet that are really very good. So you don't need to reinvent the wheel. If you can make use of those resources in your course, it would be nice, di ba? Kung galing mismo yun sa expert. For example, sino ba ang mga experts sa disaster? Nakilala natin dito sa Pilipinas. Pag iniisip natin yun, anong naiisip nating tao? Marami. Red Cross. O, baka may video si Dick Gordon. Available online. Free for use. Galing mismo sa kanya. Diba? So, we can adapt it for our particular course. Right? Kesa, uulitin ko yung sinabi ni Gordon, ang ganda ng pagkakasabi niya. Diba? Inaalaw naman nung license, nung material na yon. Okay? So, what makes a good OER? So, for example, itong particular diagram na to, the source is the Open University or Open Learn. So, ang ganda-ganda na ng material niya, diba? So, ba't ko pa kailangan siyang i-redo when I can reuse it, but I have to attribute it to the Open Learn. So, una, good OER is findable. It can be in multiple locations. So, when you use OERs, huwag yung parang hirap hanapin. parang gusto mong pahirapan yung estudyante to look for that OER unless the finding of OER is part of your activity. Okay? So, but a good OER should be findable. When you look up it in Google, madali mong mahanap. It should be clearly described what is the material all about. It is clearly licensed formally, normally through Creative Commons. And it is from a source you trust. It is easy to modify. It is freestanding. It does not assume knowledge of other resources. It is free of copyright content. It is being used by or recommended by people like you. Big sabihin, pag na-recommend mo yung sa estudyante nyo, ito ay in-evaluate nyo na, tiningnan nyo na, hindi tayo nag-recommend ng resource na hindi nyo pa man lang nabasa. Hindi nyo man lang alam yung material, pero nire-recommend nyo na. And if imperfect, of course, it just needs to work for you. Okay. So, what do OERs look like? Ano ba yung mga OERs? We're talking about OERs here. So, these are examples of OER. So, by the way, these slides are not my own slides. These are slides from the Open Educational Resources for your K-12 classroom. So, yan. Tingnan nyo po ito. I-search nyo to sa Google. Crash Course, Khan Academy, Vimeo. For videos with lesson plan, TED-Ed, lessons worth sharing. For textbooks, including Flexbooks. For electronic books. Ito po yung mga examples. I'm showing you examples of OERs. Multi-touch books. Documents. So many, there are many PDF files with Creative Commons license. And how are they organized? So ganito po yun. They can be collections, a repository of different podcasts, for example. Or they can be courses themselves. So OERs as books. Or they can be web pages. Or they can be learning management systems. Okay. So what are some of the guidelines for choosing learning resources? So according to Harrington, these are some of the guidelines that he recommends. Of course, accessibility. Resources are organized in ways that make them easy to access and to locate. And of course, currency. So napaka-importante po nito. Resources are up to date. So when medyo tayong mga teachers, ang ginagawa natin, when we are used to offering a particular course, minsan kinakopy na lang natin yung for the previous semester, di ba? Tapos hindi natin tiningnan, hindi na pala updated. For example, in governance, baka mamaya tayo pala ay federalism na. Tapos yung mga materials na nandun sa material mo ay sa dati pa, di ba? So hindi ka na current, hindi ka na up to date. For the disaster protocol, baka ang ginagamit mo yung luma pa, may bago na, di ba? So currency is very important, which is why you really need to review the resources that you recommend. Baka mamaya 19, okay lang yung the classic materials are okay, but for materials that need updating, kailangan niyo siyang revisit at tingnan kung relevant pa ba siya, or maybe you can look for other materials. Richness, resources reflect a variety of perspectives. So marami siyang ino-offer na perspective to the learner. Appropriate media is used. The usability of the resource is enhanced by the media. And inclusivity. Kailangan inclusive siya. Wala tayong dinidiscriminate na sectors of society or socio-cultural perspectives. So, the resources must demonstrate social, cultural, and gender inclusivity. Okay, so ito, these are our discernment as teachers. Which is why, in this mode of learning, syempre napaka-importante pa rin ang role natin as teachers. Because you will be the one to discern and to decide which of these materials you will be recommending, you will be integrating to your courses. Okay? So, how do you find OER? So, paki-note lang po nito. Mamaya sa break siguro, we can make this an exercise. So, yung pong, we can use the Google's advanced search. Ito po yung URL niya. Tapos, dun po sa ano, dun sa filter ng usage rights field, palitan niyo po yun ng free to share or modify. So, gagawin po natin yan later. So, pupuntahan niyo yung site na yan. Lalagay, i-accomplish niyo iba-ibang field doon. Pagdating po dun sa usage rights field, papalitan niyo ng free to share or modify. Ibig sabihin, yan yung mga materials na inaalaw kayong gamitin. Inaalaw kayong to reuse, to share, to adapt. In other words, they have the Creative Commons license. Okay? Sige. So, pakinote lang po. Ano, pwede nyo naman pong ano, i-Google search lang yun. Google Advanced Search. Okay? Sige. So, how do we evaluate OERs? So, ulitin ko lang ulit. Accuracy. Reputation of author or institution. So, pag medyo may nakit... Minsan kasi, we have this tendency, di ba? Well, kahit tayo mga teachers eh. Alam mo ba, merong bagong ano, bagong pampapayat. Nakita ko to dun sa Facebook. Minum ka lang daw ng ano, limang calamansi juice, mga ganon-ganon. Tinanong ba natin, is it from a reputable author or from a reputable institution? Hindi, di ba? Naniniwala lang tayo. Sabi dun sa Facebook. So as a teacher, we should be able to evaluate OERs based on the reputation ng author na yon or ng institution na yon. So hindi natin pwedeng sabihin lang sa estudyante natin na sabi dun sa Facebook magkaka-earthquake daw. So saan, reputable ba yung source natin? And of course, the standard of technical production, nagpa-follow ba siya ng standards? And again, accessibility. Ito yung paulit-ulit. They should be accessible. When you search them, it allows you to reuse or to share. And of course, fitness for purpose. So, magagamit mo ba ito sa yung particular course? And of course, there's a clear rights declarations that it is a Creative Commons material. Okay? So, makikita nyo naman po ito, Creative Commons, these are, it allows you to share and use creativity and knowledge through free legal tools. So, they're free, easy to use, copyright licenses, provide a simple standardized way to give the public permission to share and use creative work. So, ang makikita po natin, CC licenses. So, it now allows you some rights reserved. Okay, so this is actually works alongside with copyright. Okay, so if you want your students to have the right to share, use, and even build upon a work you've created, so you can use the Creative Commons license. So it allows you flexibility and protects the people who use your work. So hindi na sila mag-aalala na, oh, baka mayroon akong copyright infringement. As long as they abide by the conditions you have specified. Okay? So, ito lang po yung mga examples, ano, just to, para hindi naman tayo foreign sa atin na itsura ng mga to. So, these are the different licenses for Creative Commons. So, ito yung pinaka-open, CC BY. So, ito yung pinaka-open, ano? So, medyo alam niyo na pala to, pero ito yung pinaka-restrictive naman, yung pinaka-dulo. Allow others to download your work and share them with others as long as they credit you, but they can change them in any way or use them commercially. Pero ako, personally, in the spirit of openness, why restrict your student, di ba? Gusto natin ay mapalaganap yung kaalaman about disaster risk reduction management. So allow them to reuse, to remix, mash up, adapt. Maybe they can come up with a better material and later you can reuse it for your course. Okay. So, with that, thank you very much.